Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Beautiful, beautiful. Dr. Atolabe, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon. How are you doing today?
Very well, thank you. How are you doing, Doc?
Very well, I praise God.
Fantastic. Great to hear from you. Great to speak to you once again this particular Friday. I hope your week has been okay.
It's been wonderful, though busy. This, you always tell me busy is good. So
yeah, busy good. Is good. Yeah, busy is good, definitely. Well, I do hope that indeed it has been good. We've arrived on a Friday and the Sabbath is about to start this side. Now, this week we're looking at early childhood, continuing with the seasons of life. And we're looking at early childhood, which means that it is the ages 2 to the age of 6 years old. And the issue that I hope that you are going to be addressing there are the issues of hyperactivity. That's one of the issues that you're going to be addressing. And, you know, basic physical health needs and also social needs. So, Doc, let me hand over to you.
Great. This time period in life, actually some say 0 to 8 years, but it's specifically 2 to 6 years for many authors and pediatricians and psychologists and all those who work with children. But we know that it's a very critical period of life because this is when the brain is set in the midst of an environment that is changing, and the youngster, the child, is now going to learn and lay the foundation for all future learning, behavior, and health. This is where the foundation is laid. This is where the child's development of the brain architecture actually will take place. And this is the year that is also called the preschool years, the toy years, and all this. So being a very critical time in the person's lifetime, it is necessary that the child should have the best nutrition. Well, it's not that we don't need to eat well at all times, but this time around, we really need to pay attention to the need for fruits, for vegetables, because these are the food items that will give healthy growth and brain development. For many cultures, they think it's all starchy food that gives energy. Mm-hmm. Yes, it gives energy, but how about the intricate development that the child would definitely need at this time to lay the right healthy foundation for the future? And this is the time when babies will learn whether they're going to eat the vegetables or they're just going to eat sweets, and all the rest. This is the time we get them to understand and to love to eat the good fruits, vegetables. They're very, very important. In my part of the world, in Africa, there is a lot of starchy foods available. And many times a child is weaned from the breast to cassava and all those very highly refined, but highly in starch content, not as much in vitamins and minerals. These are the key items that are needed. Not necessarily as high protein as many talk about. Oh, yes, they need the protein. Absolutely. They're going to grow because the cells are still growing and growing rapidly also. But many times we miss out the vitamins and the minerals. And this is when deficiency may set in, iron deficiencies, tooth decay, constipation, because there isn't the nutrients that will allow the proper digestion of food. And then also many babies, well, they are passing babies at this stage. These little youngsters, they do have food allergies. And we do not understand that it is many times food allergies that is playing the role in leading us to many behavioral problems. Because when motor, cognitive, social, and emotional skills are now combined for development at this stage of life, we often take it for granted as teachers, as parents, as guardians. and we don't pay attention to these little things that are necessary for the child. Because the child, of course, they need to be loved. I have read materials, especially in the years of my sociology, my first degree, of instances when children who are in motherless babies' home die en masse compared to those in motherless babies' home that live long and live through and are buoyant and are active and are healthy. And they found that the difference between these children, is that of just simple stimulation of handling the baby, not just sticking the feeding bottle into the baby's mouth whilst in the crib, but actually taking that baby out, taking the child on the lap and feeding the child. That was making the difference between children that lived through motherless baby's home period or those who do not. So we see that not only do we need to feed children at this stage very nutritious, highly nutritious food in vitamins and minerals, and of course protein and also the starch in right proportion, but many times what we forget are the food that are high in vitamins and minerals, and they are packed in the fruits and the vegetables. So we see that this is something that I always like to stress, especially for my students in developmental psychology, that this is a time when a child must be fed properly. Because this is the time, some children, this is when they start talking, when they start walking. And the general rule of thumb, which I should not forget, is that we should not compare one child with another too closely.
Oh, yes.
My child is walking, is 11 months old, and your child is 13 months old and is not yet walking, and you're wondering, something is wrong with my child, what's going on? No, we don't do that, because there's a range in which each child will develop at his or her own pace, and we should take that into cognizance. I recall as an example, my first child, a boy, was more quiet and more reserved compared to my second, a girl. She was more of an outgoing personality, started talking early, started calling the brother's name. And the brother is still struggling to call her name that came after her. When they started school, she would say, bye-bye. And the brother is all looking down and not looking so happy. So children are different.
Yeah.
And he started to walk early. And my first son didn't talk early enough. At first, I thought there was a problem. But I was told, nope, there's no problem with your child. It's because there's no one for him to talk with. You don't talk with him as much as you should. And there's nobody around. So your child is not going to talk early as the one that came after him that had others around her that helped her to start talking. So when we come to the issue of attention deficit disorder, now, if we don't finish today, because this is not something we should rush through, you may caution me to tell me it's time, and then we'll be able to continue, hopefully by the grace of God, next week. I'd like to at least begin to mention it, that look, we have this problem, and it's getting worse as the days are getting close to the end of time. And we are having children who are having what has been diagnosed as attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. And it usually starts at this age phase in life. And it may last into adulthood for many. And the problem is that this child becomes a talkative, talks into what you're talking with somebody, the child will just jump in, becomes very rude, intrude upon others, has difficulty playing quietly, you tend to leave tasks undone, unfinished, shift prematurely from one subject to another. And once the symptoms get well developed, they usually tend to remain constant for that individual. Usually it may not get worse. But before we will go today, I would like to mention, so that at least we go with something very important, maybe we'll continue later on, is that resulting into the drug of today, immediately a child is diagnosed with this problem, does not solve the problem. as has been found over and over and over again, that it does not really solve the problem. So we look at other ways, what symptoms are, the ways in which we can help such children so that we don't get them on drugs that are just bad, in fact, if not worse, on the problem itself, because they have serious side effects.
You know, Doc, very interesting that you talk about ADHD. Is that ADHD, no?
AD. Some call it ADD. Some call it ADHD. ADHD, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder.
Yeah, yeah. Now, you're saying that it starts at a very early age. Are there things that would cause the child to develop this ADD, or is it a natural hereditary issue?
Well, both. But more of the first part than the latter. More of causes, environmental causes, more than heredity. And generally, it is known in natural healthcare that even if there are hereditary difficulties, it's like a loaded gun. Something must trigger it before it becomes manifesting in the child or in the life of a child.
Yep, yep.
So environmental factors so far have been found to be the prevalent causes of ADHD. One, several have found that food allergies are the problems with several children, taken out of the environment of watching TV, playing games, and cannot sit at the desk and do quiet book work. Take them out into an environment where they are able to walk with flowers, walk in the garden, walk with mother in the kitchen, interact with other persons, especially parents at home. Today, parents are all out in different directions to look for money, and children are trying to raise themselves. So we see a situation where many environmental factors have been found to be responsible for this problem in children. And also, it is overdiagnosed. Immediately, we see a child that is impulsive, a child that is being distractible all the time. Bam, they put the child on Ritalin. And that has not helped. Usually, the effect of the drug will wear out a little bit because it's like a dope that is given to a child. And then it seems as if it quiets the child down for a little while. Then the problem will manifest in another direction because the core of the issue is not resolved yet. So more of environmental factors than hereditary factors.
Now, you say that they develop those symptoms at that very early age, and you suggest that they would go into adulthood with those. Does this suggest that these are not reversible?
No. It is reversible if, and that if is capital letters, if it is attended to in the right way. Generally, what happens today, especially in many developed countries, is that once a child starts school and starts manifesting the symptoms of ADDH, the child is put on the drug immediately. And that has not helped any child from what we are studying from research and studies. Generally, the child will continue, but they will keep on giving the drug. But there are serious side effects that also will come along with taking that drug after some time, and the problem is still not resolved. So when that method is used, it seems as if it is not reversible. But I have read several case studies in which a child is taken out of that environment. The case I was reading today, as I was preparing for this also, it's a 13-year-old girl that has been sent from three schools, and she cannot come back because the teachers cannot handle her. And no teacher would even like to retain a child in the class if the child is troublesome, in quotes. And so the child had been sent away from three schools. So the mother had to take the child. The physician assessed and did everything. I said, you know, what we'll do is that take this child away from the environment. cut off the TV cord, get rid of the TV from the home. Mm. The grandmother then took a whole summer off work and took this 13-year-old child with her, went into a more countryside place, began to work with this child, with her in the kitchen, with her in the garden, teaching her on one-on-one, and interacting with this child. Well, the child was reversed totally from hyperactivity syndromes entirely and could go back to school.
Oh, wow.
And today, looking back and assessing that child, a very stable adult.
Wow, wow, wow. Oh, that's actually a beautiful testimony of how these issues can be reversed. So effectively, as we wrap up, Doc, we literally are completely out of time. I think this is an extremely important topic, as you suggested, that if it is not attended to early enough, it yes. may then fester later on. Now, does it matter if it is perhaps, let's say, 5, 6, 7 years later when they're a teenager, try to reverse it? Can it still be reversible?
Yes, it can.
At later,
because there
at
are many
later
that
ages.
Have been so helped. Yes, absolutely. If the lifestyle method is used.
I see. Oh, all right. Well,
there's hope.
Yes, yes, please go continue.
I said there's hope.
Oh, there is hope, yes, because I was wondering, because we have seen or had, children suffering from ADD, and it gets into adulthood, and people are still continuing with that. And so it's great to hear that, in fact, it can be attended to and be permanently reversed, correct?
Right, yes.
Thank you so much, Dr. Atolabe. Thank you so much for your time. Enjoy what is left of your afternoon and Sabbath.
You're welcome.
Happy Sabbath to you.
I'm going to run back to my chores now to start to clean up for Sabbath.
Thank you so much. Have a good one.
Thank you. You too.
Bye.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.